Remember when the biggest dangers for kids going to school were safely crossing the street, the bus ride, losing their lunch money? Today, yeah, quite a different story, isn't it? Predators, shooters loom larger than ever over what had always assumed to be a safe place for your child. Now, schools are taking command with procedures to prevent any tragedies from these threats. You, as a parent, you have an important role to play as well. Here to discuss exactly what that role is, share with you a tool that she's created to help, is school emergency management expert, former reserve law enforcement officer, and author of the book for, well, not just children, I think for the entire family, Sammy the Sasquatch. Welcome to Crittertopia. We say good morning to Claire Marie. Thanks for being here today, Claire.
Thanks so much for having me, Chris.
SammyandFriends.com. Learn more about what is going to be a very valuable and empowering series of children's books, well, family books, I think we should more fairly accurately call them, that Claire is in the process of creating. But let us begin with Sammy the Sasquatch. And I pretty much alluded through the intro what the point of focus is with your book, Claire. But what was it that you set out to do with Sammy the Sasquatch? Welcome to Crittertopia.
Yeah, you know, I've been out for years working in schools, supporting them with different emergency drills. And I was just, it was so challenging sometimes to talk with kids, especially young kids, you know, 4, 5, 6-year-old kids about lockdown drills specifically. And so I started creating the Sammy story to help me when I was in classrooms. And it was clear to me, you know, that where I live, some schools, that, you know, half the kids won't show up if there's a lockdown drill that day. And so that tells me that there's something that's not working in our systems with how we're teaching kids, whether it's, you know, the fear of sitting with the parents or discomfort of fear of sitting with the kids. And so I just wanted a better tool to be able to approach lockdown drills in a way that empowers kids and supports adults in the conversation and doesn't traumatize them.
This really brings to light, too, how, as you mentioned, we have so many parents who think the best way is to keep their kid away from anything. Like, we've heard from everything from not keeping score in scholastic sports to not letting them watch the news to not having security in the school because it makes, they don't want the school to be like a prison for the kid. But that seems to be that so many of those parents are taking the complete opposite direction of what they should do, as opposed to having their child be prepared to be ahead of something bad that might be happening. What are some of the means of communication parents have to do to help their child feel comfortable in what might superficially appear to be a traumatic situation that's going on around them with the lockdown drill?
Yeah, so first we don't want lockdown drills to be traumatic, right? And so one of the biggest things we can do is separate this assumption that just because we have gone into a lockdown or doing a drill, that does not mean that there is a true threat. It means that somebody noticed something that was concerning enough that we did need to escalate our level of security within the school. But we might find out, you know, after they do the lockdown and law enforcement makes contact with the person that, oh, they just, you know, wandered on the campus and they're so sorry they didn't mean to be here, or they hopped the fence because they needed to use the porta potty. I kid you not, these are things that have happened. And so we have to help kids and adults understand that we need to take lockdowns seriously, but we can't always jump to the assumption of exactly what's happening. And so at home, what we want to see parents doing is, and I totally understand why their reaction is to kind of just like stick their head in the sand and pretend like, you know what, we're going to wrap them in bubble wrap and we're not going to talk about it. But unfortunately, the kids hear about it anyways. And so what we have to do is we have to have, of course, developmentally appropriate conversations with them about focusing on how are they active participants consistently in keeping themselves safe, not just focusing in on only one scary thing, right? So start the conversation at home with just asking your kids, hey, you know, what's something that you do every day to be safe? And when they do those things, like looking both ways before they cross the road, praise them, like, oh my gosh, you know what, I'm really proud of you. I didn't even have to tell you to look both ways. That was awesome, kid. And then once you have built in this culture of you are consistently a member and a partner in keeping yourself safe, You can start asking them about the drills that they do at school, because ideally they're doing more than just lockdown drills. Have them describe it to you, praise them when they show you that they are experts, and then you can delve into the topic of a lockdown drill.
Claire Marie, author of the book Sammy the Sasquatch. Welcome to Crittertopia, SammyandFriends.com, the website, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. How important is it, too, for helping the kids understand and show trust in the school staff, because mom and dad aren't at the school with them? So when something out of routine is being done, again, that's when the tension convention could start within a kid.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, when we go into classrooms, we call it coaching, emergency drill coaching, or we'll call it lockdown coaching, whatever we're focusing on. We usually, if the school is agreeable, we'll bring a law enforcement partner in uniform with us. And we talk about with the kids how teacher does stuff every day, all day long, that they might not even realize helps to keep them safe. And teacher and law enforcement personnel, they train consistently, and they have programs in place that help keep kids safe that kids aren't even aware of, just like in the book, the Critter Elders use special magic to keep Crittertopia safe. And so we help them understand that there are efforts that we might not be telling them about that are in place within schools. And then for parents, you know, schools are doing a lot, and they might just not be aware. And so ask your schools what they've got in place, and schools start communicating with your school community about all the awesome things that you do. So that way we can build this confidence between the parents and the schools and law enforcement partnership, that we know what's going on, we have a plan, and folks are doing things to keep kids safe.
I want to pause for a minute to give a little credit to your illustrator, because just like with any children's book, if the illustrator doesn't do the job, then the message is lost. And what Sammy does in Sammy the Sasquatch is it's not just a character. He's communicating. I'm looking at these. I mean, it sounds simple, like 16 pages, but without the artwork that comes along, the illustration that comes along, that communication does not connect. But it does in this case.
Oh, my gosh, yes. Isabella has done a phenomenal job of bringing Sammy and her friends to life. And it really helps build that, you know, feeling within the book of empowerment and safety and, you know, not fear, but like, hey, there's lots of different stuff we do every day to keep ourselves safe. And that's okay. We are empowered to do this. And that's a really cool thing.
And also in the beginning of the book, what Claire does too is provide you as a parent, a grandparent, the adult in the room, which we hope you are, that's a greater awareness and a foundation for you to go with your child, not lead your child. I think you're really on an even plane here in this case with the message that Sammy delivers and that Sammy educates. It's really important, again, just to not to hammer the point, but I think we need to, because without the parental foundation, the kid's going to get lost in all this, and this is something you don't want them to get lost in.
Oh, absolutely, right? Like we want to walk this path with them, and that's something I say a lot, so I so appreciate you saying that, you know, like going along with them in this conversation and meeting them where they're at and being that strong grounding point, because kids will co-regulate with you. They will read the emotions that you are putting off. And if you can be calm and grounded and connected in this conversation, that will make a huge difference for them. If they read in you that you are, you know, anxious or nervous or fear building in this, then they're going to be like, oh, my gosh, I should be afraid of this thing. And so you need to be that grounding point that walks alongside of them.
At the same time, too, a message for schools, because we've seen these on the newscasts. Don't add theatrics to the drills, because you're just going to increase the risk of trauma, especially to the younger kids. We don't need to have Halloween horror house type theatrics going on when you do these drills. Just get the procedure down. That's the priority.
Yes, absolutely. So, in fact, the research shows Dr. Jacqueline Schildkraut has done some amazing research on lockdown drills. And one of the best, we have all of the best practices are included in our approach in the book. And one of those best practices that we don't mention but is key is that schools do not add sensorial techniques into these drills, because it does not benefit the children or the staff in any way. In fact, it causes more trauma. And so What we do when we work with schools is we actually bring our law enforcement leaders into the conversation, because we recognize the importance of doing active shooter drills. But I want to be clear, those are very, very, very different than lockdown drills. Those things are not the same thing. And active shooter drills should only involve law enforcement and should only ever occur on school grounds when there are no children present anywhere on school grounds. And it should be clearly communicated through signage and pushing out information to the community that that exercise is occurring. And staff should actually never be required to engage in those drills. But because staff may find value in it, if they so choose, could be allowed to volunteer. And so if you want to do the role-playing, the scenario games for your first responders, law enforcement, fire, EMS, that's great. Just don't ever do it when kids are present, and don't ever require staff to do it. In fact, when we go into schools, when we have law enforcement go with us and we do a lockdown drill, we tell them they're not even allowed to jiggle the handle of the door. They can test that it's locked, but they're not allowed to make any sound with that test.
As we get ready for another school year to start in some areas, I know that this past week it actually did start. It's time to think about reality, because like it or not, reality, no matter how much you try to deflect and deny it, is going to be the constant. This is one of the realities that Claire addresses. And Sammy the Sasquatch, welcome to Crittertopia, in a way that will hopefully create the comfort zone to talk about this between you and your son or daughter, as well as to be proactive as a parent in making sure that all aspects of this issue, when it comes to lockdowns, is addressed effectively, accurately, and for lack of a better phrase, user-friendly for all points concerned. SammyandFriends.com website. Find out more about Claire's work. Again, it's Sammy the Sasquatch. Welcome to Crittertopia. And Claire, you've made a valuable addition to a parent's toolbox to make sure that, again, their child is strong and empowered no matter what the situation is. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me, Chris.